Chapter 10. I stop the elevator between floors while Tyler undoes his belt. When the elevator stops, the soup bowls stacked on the buffet cart start rattling, and steam mushrooms up to the elevator ceiling as Tyler takes the lid off the soup tureen. Tyler starts to take himself out and says, "Don't look at me or I can't go." The soup's a sweet tomato bisque with cilantro and clams. Between the two, nobody will smell anything else we put in. I say, "Hurry up," and I look back over my shoulder at Tyler with his last half inch hanging in the soup. This looks in a really funny way like a tall elephant in a waiter's white shirt and bow tie, drinking soup through its little trunk. Tyler says, "I said, don't look." The elevator door in front of me has a little face-sized window that lets me look out into the banquet service corridor. With the elevator stopped between floors, my view is about a cockroach above the green linoleum. And from here at cockroach level, the green corridor stretches toward the vanishing point, past half-open doors where titans and their gigantic wives drink barrels of champagne and bellow at each other, wearing diamonds bigger than I feel. Last week, I tell Tyler, when the Empire State lawyers were here for their Christmas party, I got mine hard and stuck it in all their orange mousses. Last week, Tyler says, he stopped the elevator and farted on a whole cart of Bocconi Dolce for the Junior League tea. That Tyler knows how a meringue will absorb odor. At cockroach level, we can hear the captive harpist make music as the titans lift forks of butterflied lamb chop, each bite the size of a whole pig, each mouth a tearing Stonehenge of ivory. I say, "Go already." Tyler says, "I can't. If the soup gets cold, they'll send it back. The Giants, they'll send something back to the kitchen for no reason at all. They just want to see you run around for their money. A dinner like this, these banquet parties, they know the tip is already included in the bill, so they treat you like dirt. We don't really take anything back to the kitchen. Move the Pomme Parisian and the Asperge Hollandaise around the plate a little, serve it to someone else, and all of a sudden it's fine. I say Niagara Falls, the Nile River. In school, we all thought if you put somebody's hand in a bowl of warm water while they slept, they'd wet the bed." Tyler says, "Oh." Behind me, Tyler says, "Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm doing it. Oh, yeah. Yes." Past half-open doors in the ballrooms off the service corridor, swish gold and black and red skirts as tall as the gold velvet curtain at the old Broadway theater. Now and again there are pairs of Cadillac sedans in black leather with shoelaces, where the windshield should be. Above the cars move a city of office towers and red cummerbunds. "Not too much," I say. Tyler and me, we've turned into the guerrilla terrorists of the service industry. Dinner party saboteurs. The hotel caters dinner parties. And when somebody wants the food, they get the food and the wine and the china and glassware and the waiters. They get the works, all on one bill. Because they know they can't threaten you with a tip, to them you're just a cockroach. Tyler, he did a dinner party one time. This was when Tyler turned into a renegade waiter. That first dinner party, Tyler was serving the fish course in this white and glass cloud of a house that seemed to float over the city, on steel legs attached to a hillside. Part of the way through the fish course, while Tyler's rinsing plates from the pasta course, the hostess comes in the kitchen holding a scrap of paper that flaps like a flag, her hand is shaking so much. Through her clenched teeth, Madame wants to know, did the waiters see any of the guests go down the hallway that leads to the bedroom part of the house? Especially any of the women guests. Or the host. In the kitchen, it's Tyler and Albert and Len and Jerry rinsing and stacking the plates, and a prep cook, Leslie, basting garlic butter on artichoke hearts stuffed with shrimp and escargot. "We're not supposed to go in that part of the house," Tyler says. We come in through the garage. All we're supposed to see is the garage, the kitchen, and the dining room. The host comes in behind his wife in the kitchen doorway and takes the scrap of paper out of her shaking hand. "This will be all right," he says. "How can I face those people," Madame says, "unless I know who did this?" The host puts a flat, open hand against the back of her silky white party dress that matches her house. Madame straightens up, her shoulders squared, and is all of a sudden quiet. "They are your guests," he says, "and this party is very important." This looks in a really funny way like a ventriloquist bringing his dummy to life. Madame looks at her husband, and with a little shove the host takes his wife back into the dining room. The note drops to the floor, and the two-way swish-swish of the kitchen door sweeps the note against Tyler's feet. Albert says, "What's it say?" Len goes out to start clearing the fish course. Leslie slides the tray of artichoke hearts back into the oven and says, "What's it say already?" Tyler looks right at Leslie and says, without even picking up the note, "I have passed an amount of urine into at least one of your many elegant fragrances." Albert smiles. "You pissed in her perfume?" "No," Tyler says. "He just left the note stuck between the bottles. She's got about 100 bottles sitting on a mirror counter in her bathroom." Leslie smiles. "So you didn't, really?" "No," Tyler says. "But she doesn't know that." The whole rest of the night, in that white and glass dinner party in the sky, Tyler kept clearing plates of cold artichokes, then cold veal with cold palm duchess, then cold chou-fleur à la polonaise from in front of the hostess, and Tyler kept filling her wine glass about a dozen times. Madame sat watching each of her women guests eat the food, until between clearing the sorbet dishes and serving the apricot gâteau, Madame's place at the head of the table was all of a sudden empty. They were washing up after the guests had left, loading the coolers and the china back into the hotel van, when the host came in the kitchen and asked, "Would Albert please come help him with something heavy?" Leslie says maybe Tyler went too far. Loud and fast, Tyler says how they kill whales. Tyler says to make that perfume that costs more than gold per ounce. Most people have never seen a whale. Leslie has two kids in an apartment next to the freeway. Madame Hostess has more bucks than we'll make in a year in bottles on her bathroom counter. Albert comes back from helping the host and dials 911 on the phone. Albert puts a hand over the mouth part and says, "Man, Tyler shouldn't have left that note." Tyler says, "So tell the banquet manager, get me fired. I'm not married to this chicken shit job." Everybody looks at their feet. "Getting fired," Tyler says, "is the best thing that could happen to any of us. That way we'd quit treading water and do something with our lives." Albert says into the phone that we need an ambulance and the address. Waiting on the line, Albert says the hostess is a real mess right now. Albert had to pick her up from next to the toilet. The host couldn't pick her up because Madame says he's the one who peed in her perfume bottles, and she says he's trying to drive her crazy by having an affair with one of the women guests tonight, and she's tired, tired of all the people they call their friends. The host can't pick her up because Madame's fallen down behind the toilet in her white dress, and she's waving around half a broken perfume bottle. Madame says she'll cut his throat, he even tries to touch her. Tyler says, "Cool." "And Albert stinks," Leslie says. "Albert, honey, you stink." "There's no way you could come out of that bathroom not stinking," Albert says. "Every bottle of perfume is broken on the floor, and the toilet is piled full of other bottles. They look like ice," Albert says, "like at the fanciest hotel parties where we have to fill the urinals with crushed ice." The bathroom stinks, and the floor is gritty with slivers of ice that won't melt. And when Albert helps Madame to her feet, her white dress wet with yellow stains, Madame swings the broken bottle at the host, slips in the perfume and broken glass, and lands on her palms. She's crying and bleeding, curled against the toilet. "Oh, and it stings," she says. "Oh, Walter, it stings. It's stinging," Madame says. The perfume, all those dead whales and the cuts in her hands, it stings. The host pulls Madame to her feet against him, Madame holding her hands up as if she were praying, but with her hands an inch apart and blood running down the palms, down the wrists, across a diamond bracelet, and to her elbows where it drips. And the hostie says, "It will be all right, Nina."
"My hands, Walter,"
Madame says. "It will be all right." Madame says,
"Who would do this to me? Who could hate me this much?"
The host says to Albert, "Would you call an ambulance?" That was Tyler's first mission as service industry terrorist, guerrilla waiter, minimum wage despoiler. Tyler's been doing this for years, but he says everything is more fun as a shared activity. At the end of Albert's story, Tyler smiles and says, "Cool." Back in the hotel right now, in the elevator stopped between the kitchen and the banquet floors, I tell Tyler how I sneezed on the trout and aspic for the dermatologist convention, and three people told me it was too salty, and one person said it was delicious. Tyler shakes himself off over the soup tureen and says he's run dry. This is easier with cold soup, vichyssoise, or when the chef makes a really fresh gazpacho. This is impossible with that onion soup that has a crust of melted cheese on it in ramekins. If I ever ate here, that's what I'd order. We were running out of ideas, Tyler and me. Doing stuff to the food got to be boring, almost part of the job description. Then I hear one of the doctors, lawyers, whatever, say how a hepatitis bug can live on stainless steel for 6 months. You have to wonder how long this bug can live on a rum custard Charlotte Russe, or salmon timbal. I ask the doctor where we could get our hands on some of these hepatitis bugs, and he's drunk enough to laugh. "Everything goes to the medical waste dump," he says, and he laughs. Everything. The medical waste dump sounds like hitting bottom. One hand on the elevator control, I ask Tyler if he's ready. The scar on the back of my hand is swollen red and glossy, as a pair of lips in the exact shape of Tyler's kiss. "One second," Tyler says. The tomato soup must still be hot, because the crooked thing Tyler tucks back in his pants is boiled pink as a jumbo prawn.